Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. As always, we're always great to see who's putting up to the table here as our regular diner. So, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, thank you. This heat is just lovely.
That's wonderful. And I am Robin Misevich, your host here at the regular Transformation Cafe. We want to thank everybody who's checking us out and sending us all kinds of messages and ideas for future shows. We're always looking forward to getting out what you're really looking at, what you're really thinking about, what you want to talk about, getting in here on the Transformation Cafe and having it being something that really can help everybody to just have a better quality life, have a new perspective that really helps everybody to be moving up and out and good and all that stuff. So tonight I want to talk about being sensitive. There seems to just be a growing awareness of people just being sent so many ways with population, the population growth, technology, just all different ways that we're getting that much more sensitive. And there's also that relationship when you're sensitive that there could be relationships to be empathic and really being on coming from your intuitive level. And I'm really excited to have Gloria on because I know she's going to have some wonderful things to talk about with that. So, Gloria, when it comes to being sensitive, what do you think you are? From 1 to 10, what would you say?
Well, I've always been told I'm too sensitive for many different purposes, and I think that a lot of what we have from an energetic level is perceived sometimes by people who aren't evolved enough as much as mm-hmm. other individuals because everybody's on their own path and journey and their level of... Mm-hmm. And so I think that these comments are said, and I think people mean well, but I know that whenever I've heard them, it's always come mm-hmm. across, I've always felt that it comes across in a negative way. And
right.
So I think it's just that people just don't know when they make these statements. And so, you know, being sensitive is a good thing, and understanding the sensitivity and where it comes from also helps people to be able to moderate because, you know, it's much like the person who cries all the time because they're so sensitive and they don't know what to do with it. They're just as lost as the people who are experiencing them crying all the time. It's a journey for both.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because when it comes to somebody who's very sensitive or more sensitive in the way that they when they take in the world, they take in energy. Just really being sensitive just means you really feel and perceive energy in a just more heightened way. So when it comes to people being like you're saying, you know, what are some of the ways that we could know that being empathic or just being sensitive can really affect your life? And not knowing it, a lot of physical ailments and things like that could come where you have migraine headaches. You can be having postpartum syndromes and things like that can happen in a way that you're able to cope or not cope with different situations. Fibromyalgia, all kinds of things can really come up into the physical when we're just sensitive and don't necessarily know that we don't have the tools that can help us to be able to shift into having it be something that it's a gift instead of a curse. Because sometimes
I was going to say, and just having somebody tell you that it's okay to be sensitive and to understand what's going on, that's half of the issue. Because a lot of times people don't even know what's going on. I mean, I remember before I really understood, and I had no one to talk to, and, you know, going out and being social in social settings, like people would want to go to a bar or they'd want to go and dance. You know, and it was very painful for me. And we're not talking just emotional painful. You know, I could sense the emotions of everyone around me. And it's it's like being bombarded with so many different emotions, and you don't know which way is up and down, and it gets to a point where it's physically painful. And it's just not a nice place to be. And so just knowing, one, that it's not you and that you're feeling other people, that right there in and of itself is such a relief because you realize you're not going crazy.
Yeah,
because you get these sensations, these thoughts, these emotions, and these feelings that you don't know where they're coming from, and you don't know why you're having them, and you think, oh my gosh, why am I having this? And if you don't know and don't understand, it can become a personal issue, and you start to question your own sanity.
Yes, you do. Well, and that's the thing too, is once you, just like anything else, once you find a commonality with other people who have those, like just like being sensitive, and just anyway, in any way that it is, it really helps you to feel that you're not alone. And of course, that's one of the big barriers for people. Because that's one thing that when you look at people who are sensitive, they have a tendency not to be wanting to be in crowds. Because, like you're saying, you can sense everything. And so it's definitely very hyper in the way that you're bringing in the energy and being able to perceive it. And along with that, too, is just not really wanting to put yourself in anything that just feels uncontrollable, because, you know, when you can't really, I really want to talk tonight about, you know, what that looks like to be sensitive, and then being able to know how to be able to set boundaries, understand that you've got gifts, you've got gifts and talents of things that when everybody really gets to understand what's happening with us, and being able to have those conversations, because like you're saying, you know, I thought everybody would think I was crazy. But yeah, when you start having conversations, it really helps you to get easier with yourself and with other people. And just in every facet of life, I think, once you recognize it. People may be feeling that way, but they don't necessarily know how to be able to bring it out into the open so they can talk about it.
And also, you know, the word gift is always loosely thrown around by the people who already understand. And the people who are in the pain, the people who are experiencing it, you know, they see, and people who may be listening, they're just like, this doesn't sound like a gift. And it's, the word gift is interchangeable with skill set and ability. And
right.
And the idea of being able to do or use any ability is the opportunity and the practice. It's like an athletic process. I mean, you have to practice and fine-tune and hone the skill. And once you do, then it truly does become a gift because you recognize the value and you have control over it more than if you're just being bombarded, pardon me, and pummeled from left, right, and center and don't know which way is up. So it is a gift. It's just that it's a skill.
Right. So I really want everybody to understand that, you know, when you're, if you've got any kind of issues that are going on, like I said, you could have migraines. You could be in a room and you're feeling okay, and then all of a sudden you just feel drained or fatigued, and you don't know why. The other day, Gloria and I and our friend Kathy had gone shopping, and we walked into one store, and I noticed within a few minutes, I just didn't feel right. I felt really off, and my intuitive sense to myself was just like, you know, whatever you need to do, get out of here. So I really listened to that. I bought what I wanted, you know, I was going to get, and then I really chose to go outside and get myself out of that environment. And, you know, it's just like anything else. When you go into a room sometimes, you can sense a change of energy when you go in someplace. You know, it's just like if there's been a fight in that room or there's been some kind of activity and you walk into a room, you can sense it. You can sense it, especially if you are sensitive. But just in general, when you walk into some kind of an environment, you can tell that there could have been some kind of emotional, charging that had happened in that room.
And knowing, you know, one of the things I'd like to add for anybody who's listening, it's okay to respect and to honor those feelings in yourself. You can take advantage of just knowing that it's not right for you and you need to leave, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, giving yourself permission to really, and I mean, one thing I really want to stress to people is that, you know, most of what we're talking about when it comes to a sense of a gut feeling or something in my heart and I just had a sensing of something, and really the gut and the heart both are places where being as sensitive is definitely like other brains of the body besides what we consider our regular, you know, head brain. We have other ways that we're getting communication all the time. And that, you know, if we need to, you know, motherly intuition would be something that nobody would ever discard, you know, discard saying, oh, that and that mother didn't know something. When, you know, everybody's probably been in trouble and their mom knew what was going on, okay?
Well, and you know, on a serious note, when it comes to paying attention to your intuition, there were a couple of times I was still in grade school, and I know at least one time that I can recount where I paid attention to my gut, and it saved me from being molested and or attacked or something worse, because I listened and I paid attention and I was aware. And
right.
It was quite evident because, you know, I changed sides of the road and there was a vehicle that, you know, went down to the other end and, you know, turned around and was looking for me. And I saw them pointing at me because I was on the other side of the road and away from them. So I cannot stress enough, if you have a gut instinct, please honor it.
Yes, yes. And I mean, you know, I'm sure everyone who drives can just attest to having situations where I just felt like I needed to change lanes or I needed to turn or I needed to just do something. And the next thing you know, a car, some kind of a, you know, a potential accident could have happened right in front of you and you just basically had gotten out of harm's way. And that's definitely something when it comes to, you know, really connecting to that. So one, I wanted to give a couple exercises, and I'm sure Gloria's got a couple as well. The breath is something that's very, very important when you're coming to learn how to be able to be working through the feelings and emotions that you have. And one of the really great exercises with that is, because one of the things that's important too is making sure that, like Gloria was saying, you know, how much of this is really mine? And how much is it just me sensing something that doesn't really belong to me? So with the breath, when you start having some kind of anxiety or a heavy feeling or something that just doesn't feel comfortable, breathing in and really connecting with your own body is very, very important to make sure that you're not connecting to something that's outside of you. So yoga, tai chi, any of these regular energy practices are really, really so beneficial and important for you to do on a regular basis because it just gives you a deeper sense of your body and a sense of your knowing within yourself. And being able to recognize this isn't me, and being able to send it back where it came from. You can easily do that where just kind of checking into your body. And if you go into yoga and just other, like I said, body breathing practices, they call it the body scan, and you would breathe from your, you know, you can either start at your toes, you can start from the top of your head, just kind of work your way down your body as you're breathing. And as you do that more and more, you get very, very, you'll be very quick with it. And being able to just kind of check in with your body and then go ahead and breathe anything that isn't necessarily yours, whether it's a thought or even a physical, like dull ache or pain body. And it's good to send that back into the earth because nature just knows how to be able to exchange those energies. It's like, you know, when we breathe out, we're given carbon dioxide. They take that in and be able to make it into oxygen. That's one reason why being connected to nature is such an important thing because it helps us to continually keep in balance. And I was sharing this with Andy before, my husband, for the show, and he was really reminding me about how it's so important that we're focusing on just where, you know, we're living in societies where, you know, after generation, we're falling away more and more from the natural rhythms of nature and from the earth. So, that, you know, we're staying up later after dark and watching TV and things like that, and our natural clocks just aren't in rhythm like they were, you know, if you can really add to stressing us when it comes to love being sensitive, because we're that much more in a fight flight situation all the time, and it creates kind of a hyper situation just with sensing and having media and all the other things that they're just adding to the mix when it comes to being able to do things. So breath is a way of really just being able to slow ourselves down, being able to ground, and then using that breath to be able to release anything that isn't. Is there something that, any kind of an exercise you're thinking of, or you want to share?
Oh, I like coming at it from a trial and error perspective. And so I would suggest kind of going in and out of circumstances. So, for example,
You know, if you are aware of what you're doing, going in amongst a group of people and just being aware of the differences from when you're alone. I used to walk through the woods a lot. And so the idea of connecting in, I was much more at home in the woods, in the zoo. I used to volunteer working in the zoo before the crowds would come in. And, you know, just being in tune with nature and the energy and the vibration, and then going into circumstances where there are people and sensing the difference and just, you know, it's kind of like wax on, wax off. And just seeing the difference, and then just making notes, mental notes, and, you know, it was, oh, this was that, and I felt this, and, oh, I could tell this. I mean, there are times where I'm driving on the road, and I can tell when I really open up and pay attention, I can tell intuitively when people want to change lanes before they've turned on their indicators, or, you know, when they are pulling up next to me. And so then I just pay attention to see whether or not my intuition is accurate, you know, just by watching what happens. And so it's more of a trial error type of process, just from an awareness standpoint, because once you're aware, then it's almost as if you're looking around you. It's like your eyes are open and you can pay attention and you're not as surprised when something happens.
I know we were sharing stories. I spent time with Gloria and Eric and Kathy on Sunday. Miss Gloria had a birthday. Yay! We had a birthday party.
Woo-hoo.
And we were sharing We were sharing about just different experiences and stories and things like that from what we're talking about, being sensitive. And Kathy had shared a story about a boy who was autistic. And he never tested very well, and he was school was a challenging experience for him. And then all of a sudden he was in a testing situation, mind, and allowed himself to just kind of be in the experience instead of stressing about the answers. And he would look down on the page and he'd have like a multiple question test, and he would look at the different answers, and the right answer would light up. Just literally he'd look at it and it would kind of glow, and he would know that that was the answer. And so this kid started acing all of his tests because he was using his intuition, his sensitivities, to be able to know the answers without really having to look at it too much. It's almost like less was more when it came to just kind of relaxing into what was in front of him so he could know what he needed to do when he needed to do it. So that's one of the benefits of, like I said, relaxing and like Flores is suggesting, just kind of testing the waters as you go along and just noticing how things will, it's kind of almost on a subtle level, didn't really change. And I think that's one thing that's very, very encouraging, to have this kind of experience with that. So it just makes it really, really cool. One of the other exercises that I had thought of was it's really important to connect to your body and be aware of your body, just like with the different yoga and 5D. And one thing you can do is you can put your hand on your tummy and, you know, pretty much where you would consider where you're getting your gut sense of something. And but that's usually, you know, a little bit below your abdomen, pretty much in that whole kind of by the belly button area. And then just really acknowledge your body and know that your body can give you a sense of things. So it's kind of silly, but you say, yeah, okay, I'm going to say hello to my body. And I trust that it has its own wisdom and it will be able to teach me and help me to know things. You automatically feel that there's a connection happening. And when you do that and you would ask yourself, you know, is there something I need to know about? Is there some place that I'm giving too much of myself? So lots of times when people are very much intuitive or very much in a place of being sensitive, they have a tendency to give too much and to take on too many things. So a great question to ask yourself, is there places in my life I'm giving too much of myself, places that I need to, I'm desiring to help and it's not really needed, or it's something that's draining me because I'm giving too much of myself? And just kind of put your hands on your body near your belly and just kind of be quiet with yourself. And hopefully, you know, in almost immediately you're going to see a picture or kind of sense something of like a situation or a person that would be someplace you could just kind of ease off, be loving yourself and giving yourself that energy instead of having it being, you know, put out into an energy that isn't necessarily helpful to that person or yourself. So it's all about being able to come from a place of self-care and having those boundaries that really help yourself to be able to just be protective and yet loving yourself. So when we tell ourselves that we, you know, I honor myself and I love myself, I'm willing to no longer, you know, do whatever that is when it comes to levels of giving myself away or helping too much or whatever. It's like making a promise to myself in a loving way that I'm no longer going to do those things. So it gives myself, I'm like, I'm going to regroup and reframe my boundaries and have it be closer to what's true for me instead of thinking I've got to help everybody. I'm going to be able to help myself. It's that old analogy where they talk about in the airplanes where you're going to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you put it on somebody else when there's some kind of a cabin pressure change or something like that that happens with that. And that's been a story that's been around for quite a while, but it's a really good analogy, don't you think, Gloria?
I think it's a very valid point.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like to point out is that when you do test things by trial and error, that the brain has a tendency to own and recognize those things that test out, you know, when you physically do something or are aware of it. So by being aware and testing and making a mental note, you're storing things in the brain that it becomes more of a realistic potential.
Yeah, one of the things, too, that from a couple different articles and things that I was at and looking at just to get the ideas for the show, and it was asking, you know, is it really conceivable? And this article was saying, no, that it's really, you're hardwired to perceive that way. And yet, there's ways that you could turn it down and be able to be understanding it. And just like you're saying, you know, a little awareness goes a long way with all that. So one of the other exercises that I thought of was I've been taught by one of my teachers one time. So you have this sensing in your like you wake up in the middle of the night or whatever, and you have a sense of anxiety, and there's no reason for the anxiety. Because that's one of the good questions you can ask yourself. It's like, you know, do I have any logical reason for feeling this right now? And if you don't, it's really showing that this just you being sensitive to it could be, you know, your neighbors or whatever that's happening around you. And being able to almost imagine that you've got a receiver and there's an imaginary dial that you could turn down, and as you turn that down, it helps your sensitivity to not feel so intense. It helps to calm you down and calm the situation down. And again, with the breathing and all that, breathing is to where you could turn down the dial and be able to have a sense of more comfort and ease about having it be that way. So, with that's one thing with Gloria is she's really doing stuff with the Native American tradition. Have you learned anything with that when it comes to using nature, with trees or you know, any of the natural elements?
I would say only from practice. I haven't had any training with regards to that, but it when you pay attention to your intuition. I used to go before. As a child, I used to reconnect with my Native American roots by doing a lot of research and keeping in mind that, you know, in a grade school level, in a culture where the Native American community was not, I didn't have a lot of resources to go to. And so it was, I saw things in movies and I saw things in books. And I went a lot inside on intuition and what felt correct. And so there were a number of times when, before I'd ever understood about vision quests and, you know, the various things, I would go out and I would perform my own processes of vision quests and being out on my own and being a warrior. And so a lot of it came from past life, from genetic, and from my imagination / intuition. And I would say that from that, from the Native American perspective, that it was more about becoming energetically in tune with nature and being able to, and I don't like this phrase, but quote, unquote, use the word read nature. And it comes from a position of just listening and hearing, because you know, you can go beyond. I used to listen to the birds, and I would listen to nature, and it was a really kind of an interesting process, because the idea of being a medicine woman and moving into a space of listening to the world around me, I actually started listening more deeply. And I would listen to the earth, and I would listen to the wind, and I would feel the energetic shift in, you know, weather and storms. And it enhanced my energetic flow, but I had no one to help to nurture and guide that. So it wasn't as great as it could have been, and yet from where I was and what I had, I think it was pretty strong.
Well, I know a real great tip that I learned, you know, it kind of goes back to the, you know, people laugh about, you know, people who go around and hug trees. But trees are so powerful and so great at being able to help us balance our energy that I heard once that Native Americans would, you know, they might be on the trail for a long time, they would purposely put their backs up to the, you know, to the trunks of trees to be able to balance their energy and get re-energized. It's almost like, you know, plugging in the, you know, the energizer bunny, you know, using the trees to be able to regenerate and balance the energy for you.
And I would
tap into the earth energy.
Sorry. I would add that, you know, that's true. The energy from trees, the conversation, and I know it sounds rather odd for most people, but the conversation that I have had with trees, and it's, you can have an interaction and it's interesting because I've only had two instances where it's been audible that I could hear them talking.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, you know, it's been me that's been listening, but it's not, I haven't heard it audibly. I've always heard it energetically. So
well,
they are amazing beings.
Right. I did that class last summer where we were journaling with flowers. And we had everybody, you know, learn how to get just be quiet and just ask the flower a question and then just write down whatever they heard and not judge it. And it was so amazing, some of the messages and answers these, you know, the people who were participating, the answers they got, which is really amazing. So people were just delighted and kind of blown away at the same time at just what nature was willing to give, you know, whether we're putting our hands on our belly and listening to our messages of our body, you know, putting our hands on a tree maybe and being able to listen to what they have, sort of flower in front of you and be able to speak to that. There's everything in God's creation is really there to speak to us and communicate, I really believe, is, you know, God's messages that work through. So it really helps us to come from just being a little more spacious and knowing about, you know, what really is out there, and not negating that. And, you know, one thing, too, just to kind of finish up the show is, you know, just kind of keep your heart open, keep your sense of things open, and know that there are people there that you can gently kind of get to notice people and see like-minded people that feel that way as well. So there's support and camaraderie, and like they're saying, you know, 80% of the population on the planet is experiencing the sensitivity. Well, whether they're actually speaking about it or not is, you know, coming into being able to have it as a conversation for people to feel comfortable. So it's, you know, going into like-minded things that you're interested in and ways that you can help to balance yourself. So anything else you'd like to add to that, Gloria?
Well, I have a feeling I may lose you. My phone is losing charge.
Oh, okay. Well, we're at the end of the show, so I wanted to thank you for joining me. And it's a very sensitive topic, and it's also really respectful to all of us out there that are sensitive and just are willing to open our hearts and the messages that are out there and have it be something that can really help to benefit everybody. Because really, being a sensitive person is somebody who really wants to be there to care and love quality life, and, you know, we want to be a part of that. We're like angels on the planet, so. I want to thank everybody who seems to be that way as well. So we want to thank you again. We'll join you next time here at the Transplant Cafe. Thank you for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.